And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Gina McAleese. She is Senior Communications Manager, and Jason Playa. He is the Director of Development for the American Cancer Society in Delaware here. And welcome, you two.
Thank you so much, Laura. We're happy to be back.
It is good to have you back, and especially right now because we are deep into October at this point. Yeah, one weekend, but we are deep into October, and this is a very special month for you. And who wants to tell us why it's such a great month?
Sure, I'll go into it. So this month, we are so excited to finally, after a very, very long year of crazy COVID-ness, we are excited to welcome back our Delaware Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk. And yes, you heard that correctly, walk.
And it is coming up. It's just in a few weeks, actually, October 24th at Bellevue State Park. And we're going to talk all about that. But how have these past few months, it's probably been about 5 or 6 months since we talked to you, Jason. How have these months been treating you there at the American Cancer Society?
So I will add that the American Cancer Society is actually, we are back ready and more prepared than ever. In many respects, a lot of our events over the past few months have transitioned back to in-person events. And most folks that we've been in contact with are excited about the opportunity of being back in person. Oh, at these events, we're taking proper precautions, making sure we're allowing for social distancing, but we're not stopping people from coming out and celebrating with us around all the aspects of the organization and what we could do to hopefully end the world of cancer.
Well, let's talk about the mission then, because that is the whole point of this. This is a major fundraiser for you each year, and it is a wonderful opportunity for everybody to get together, survivors, the friends and family, and it's a wonderful opportunity, but it does have a reason for existing beyond that, and that is to raise funds for your programming. So do you want to start us off with the mission and where these funds are going?
Sure. Just to give a little bit of feedback around the number of individuals that will be diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer specifically in 2021, we know that there'll be a little over 284,000 individuals will be diagnosed. Of those 284,000, 281,500 are women and approximately 2,600 are men. So it is a disease that does affect both sexes. On top of that, when you're looking at those, unfortunately, that will pass from breast cancer, we're throwing out a statistic of 44,000 individuals, unfortunately, will lose their battle to breast cancer in 2021. But on the bright side is that there are currently 3.8 million breast cancer survivors in the United States, and their survivorship is made possible because of funds that are raised in the terms of research, and funds that are raised for all the programming to make sure that survivorship is as successful as possible.
Talk a little bit about the American Cancer Society and its presence here in Delaware. What do you offer? How are you going about your business there?
Perfect. Our one thing we want your viewers to know is that if they have ever a question related to any cancer, whether breast cancer or any other cancer that they're diagnosed in, is to reach out to the American Cancer Society. We have a 1-800 number that's readily available. That's 1-800-227-2345, as well as the website, www.cancer.org, where there's valuable information that's accessible at your fingertips. And if you have any specific questions related to your diagnosis, we have information trained specialists that will be able to answer any of those questions. On top of that, we have research that is going on all around the country, and doesn't really necessarily matter whether or not it's occurring in Delaware or Pennsylvania or New Jersey, that benefits any person that has been diagnosed with breast cancer or any other types of disease. And then in addition to that, we do have programming that occurs all throughout the country that allows for breast cancer or any other diagnosed cancer to make sure that they are getting to and from treatment, as well as places to stay for those individuals that are far from home. So places to stay are called our Hope Lodges. We have Hope Lodges that are all throughout the United States. The nearest Hope Lodge to Delaware would be our Hope Lodge in Philadelphia or Hope Lodge in Baltimore. During COVID, those Hope Lodges were shut down for a bit, but they are in the process of reopening. And then if you have struggles with getting to and from treatment, we have a program called Road to Recovery. Currently, Road to Recovery still remains a little bit closed, We are in the process of opening up Road to Recovery programs around the country on a piloted aspect to see how we could be able to be successful as we're starting to exit out of the pandemic. But all in all, we want people to understand that these programs are there to help them get to and from treatment, to help them so that they don't have to face challenges finding places for them to stay, and ultimately information available at their fingertips if they have any questions about their course of treatment or any questions about their survivorship in general.
I think we're all conditioned to think in terms of breast cancer when it comes down to the month of October. And that message, you know, still is one that you've got to keep explaining over and over again. Are we looking at, let's just talk about it in general terms here. What do we know about breast cancer? Is this genetic? Is it environmental? Who's going to get it? And who's affected by it? Are there certain populations that are more likely to develop breast cancer?
So in terms of the diagnosis of breast cancer, there are different ways that individuals could be diagnosed. And in terms of, there is potentially a family history as it relates to breast cancer, but there might not necessarily be a family history. What we are trying to make a concentration around is those that have the ability to get screened are given access to those screenings. So we're making a very large attempt at trying to remove some of the disparities within certain populations to access to cancer screening. And if those screenings do detect any type of presence of cancer or something that should be looked a little bit further into, making sure that there is the availability of treatment. So all over board is to really make sure that any individual that has an opportunity to get a screening is given the right to provide to get that screening, and then the treatment should be attached, and there should be no barriers or borders for any individual that that should be treated overall.
So is it barriers to treatment and to screening in general that changes who is going to have a better outcome?
I think the statistics do show that if there is a diagnosis that's later stage because screenings didn't occur early, their survivorship is less than a person that had an earlier diagnosis. So our goal these days is to make sure, first off, people are returning back to screening after having a pandemic when people might have put off their screenings, but at the same time, making sure that those screenings that are being done are being available for every person, not just those individuals that have access to health insurance, not just those individuals that have access to healthcare a little bit easier than others, to make sure that that access to healthcare is available for everyone at all times without any obstacles.
When we look at so many diseases, and so many people will come in and they'll be talking about an organization dedicated to, you know, research, et cetera. And it might be, let's just go with heart, diabetes, et cetera. A lot of it is talking about prevention. And here, is there any prevention, or are we just looking at screening and then good treatment afterwards? Can we prevent a case of breast cancer?
There are ways that we can reduce the risk factors for a diagnosis of breast cancer. Diet and physical activity are definitely in line with making sure folks have the risk factors decreased with a healthier diet as well as physical activity. So those are ways that individuals have a little bit of control over. Most folks don't also understand that smoking does connect to breast cancer itself. So we're trying to make sure that we're encouraging individuals to quit smoking, obesity, all these different factors that we're living real life each day, day in and day out, that are in our control, that we could possibly make some changes that will eliminate some of those risk factors for a diagnosis overall. So yes, there are ways to hopefully reduce our risk, but it's not 100% reduced risk.
There are genetics that play into this one as well.
Absolutely.
So when these past few months, when I was asking about, well, how's it treated you? I talking to others at the American Cancer Society over these past few months, and you kind of alluded to it, the pandemic really wreaked havoc on screening, even for people who have the Cadillac of insurance plans, didn't take advantage of getting their screenings done in the course of these last 18 months. Is that having an impact on services or calls? What's happening now that we're crawling out?
So, you know, in terms of the access to screening and just getting people back to screening, we do have a new initiative all across the country where we're partnering with many healthcare systems and other organizations which is encouraging screening, not only breast cancer screening, but all cancer screenings. The goal is to really get people back to screening. You know, we do know that over a year, folks delayed their screenings at the same point. We do understand at this point, people are starting to leave their homes, are starting to schedule their cancer screenings. We also want to make sure at that point that the follow-up appointments are also made. We have connections within Delaware with many of the healthcare institutions and imaging locations. They are starting to see an influx of individuals coming back to their doors. They are trying to maintain the certain level of resources to accommodate the number of calls that they're getting. And as I mentioned before, we really are trying to make a big, big push to make sure that access is available to those individuals that aren't calling the healthcare institutions or those imaging locations for their screenings. We want to make sure that those actions in those communities are driving people to those locations and making sure that access to a screening and then eventual treatment, if necessary, is hand in hand. So, you know, we're getting people back to screening, but we also want to make sure who we're getting back to screening and making sure that that access is available to everybody.
What's the relationship between a self-examination and a screening? So many people only come in for a screening or a mammogram or a check because they've already discovered a lump.
So from the American Cancer Society perspective, our screening guidelines encourage folks to make sure that they're getting their cancer screenings through mammography starting at certain ages. We all also encourage people to be proactive about their health. If they see something that is different from what it used to be, something that has changed, for them to reach out and be active in their own healthcare to make sure that they get that change looked at. So, but from a screening perspective, our screening guidelines are pretty clear. If a person is between the ages of 40 and 44, that's a question that they would have with their doctor on whether or not screening should be started at those ages. Starting at 45, we encourage annual mammography between 45 and 55. And once 55 rolls around, again, a conversation with your physician or with your doctor to see if you should be getting the annual mammography or you should be going biannual at that point. So we're really trying to communicate to as many folks as possible. If you have a family history of breast cancer, those dates that I just mentioned are a little bit different. If you have a history of breast cancer that is a younger diagnosis, we want to encourage those family members to get that breast cancer screening at a younger age. So in many respects, again, that conversation with your doctor will identify whether or not you should be getting those screenings. But you have to be, again, that advocate for your own health. If you feel as if you should be getting a screening because you're seeing something changed, you want to make sure that you get that screening as quickly as possible. And we encourage people to reach out to our 1-800 number and ask some of those questions.
You know, the most amazing thing I think that you offer of all the work that you do with research and all of that, it's the it is that hotline number, that number that you can call and speak to somebody. When you've had a diagnosis of any cancer, just being able to call and have somebody on the other end to, well, one, walk, you know, work you off the wall, and to start the conversation logically and give you real information that you didn't get on the internet, which is going to scare the heck out of you.
Yeah, totally agree. And when you mentioned about research, as of right now, currently, we have about $76 million in active research grants through 174 grants around the country. So there is research that's being done by the American Cancer Society with the funds that are being raised. But getting back to that whole thought around the disparities that are occurring, the statistic is that the death rate for breast cancer dropped approximately 41% between 1989 and 2018. And we attribute that decrease because of earlier detection, awareness, mammography screening, and many, as well as advanced treatment. But, you know, the key to this number is that 41% drop was not all across the board. There are various populations, such as, you know, Black women, that still have an increased risk to unfortunately pass away from breast cancer when compared to their counterparts. Right now, Black women have a 40% more likelihood to die of breast cancer than white women. And we want to make sure that those numbers become a little bit more in line with one another over the course of time.
And of course, the efforts that you are doing in research and in screening programs, all of that is going to lead towards that. And if you'd like more information, the place to go, cancer.org. That's easy, cancer.org. Their phone number, that hotline, is 1-800-227-2345. That's 227-2345. But if you go to cancer.org, you'll find out information about all of the programming that they offer and guidelines, suggestions, tips, you name it, it's all found right there. My guest today, Gina McAleese, she is the Senior Communications Manager, and Jason Playa, Director of Development for the American Cancer Society here in Delaware. And the big event that's coming up is Making Strides, and Making Strides actually, it's a little bit more than just an event. This takes a lot of planning, and I know that you'll be very relieved when this month is over, but it's a joyous and wonderful time, too, at the same time. So, Gina, do you want to take over here and tell us what is the overall mission of the Making Strides project?
So thank you, Laura. Our Making Strides event coming up is the Making Strides of Delaware, and that is taking place again October 24th at Bellevue State Park. It's our new home for this event, our first year being held at Bellevue, so we are very excited to welcome our Making Strides of Delaware there. And really our mission is to celebrate our survivors, to celebrate our caregivers, and give them something to look forward to every year, to come walk with us, to come celebrate life with us. And truly, we are so very excited this year to finally welcome back an actual 5K walk.
So this is a 5K walk. Is this a team, an individual event? How does somebody participate in it?
Sure. So this can be an individual event. This can be an event with your teams of your friends, family, coworkers. We have sponsors of the event who even have teams that are walking the day of the event. So we're really excited to welcome anyone and everyone who has been affected by breast cancer in one way or another.
When we talk about you celebrate survivors there, how do they participate in this event? Because I know some people who have, you know, looked forward to my first event.
Sure. So we of course celebrate our survivors every single year. As every year, we will have a survivor tent that the survivors can visit with their caregivers, walk through. They will get some goodies and some hoorah from our supporters there, like Christiana Care, as well as Zeta Tau Alpha, our local sorority, who is our national supporter of survivorship for the Making Strides event. So there's going to be a lot of excitement in that tent, a lot of folks in there celebrating. In a normal non-COVID year, you know, we would have some things in there that are a little more interactive, arts and crafts, a little bit of goodies here and there, just to kind of stop the spread a little bit. It's going to be a bit different this year. It's a one way in, one way out situation with our survivor tent, but we're going to make it fun, safe, and healthy as we possibly can.
Do you have a lot of survivors who actually will do the 5K?
We do. It's a nice combination. Of course, we do have a survivor lap that will take place as every year. That kind of happens ahead of the walk. And our survivors, of course, are still welcome to do the 5K route if they want to do that in addition to the survivor lap.
And this is a rolling start.
It sure is. Yeah. So this year, again, in an effort just to, you know, reduce that social gathering, we wanted to have a rolling start to offer our teams a little bit of a break in between so they can really start the walk anytime that they arrive and that their team is completely ready. So between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., that walk can start for them at any time. And it is a non-competitive 5K, so there is no race component. It's just as quickly as you can go, walk, run, dance around the track, however you can finish the 5K. And again, between those hours of 9 and 11, the rolling start.
So what will be happening around them while they're doing this?
Sure. So we will have an area where we'll have a couple of our tents and entertainment set up. So there will be a lot of our sponsors will be on the field that day. Of course, I mentioned that survivor tent. If you haven't already registered for the event online, you can check in that day, submit donations. We will have some food trucks. There will be some auction baskets at the event, another tent where you can get your hair sprayed pink and kind of get in the spirit. And of course, some entertainment providers invited by our friends at WJBR, and we're really excited to welcome you guys to the event.
We love it. But so, but now it's not just this one. I mean, because there's a lot of prep that goes into this bad boy. And this is actually, this is a national campaign of walks. So anybody who hears this, there's a walk.
Absolutely. And we do have, our, of course, our Delaware walk that we're talking about on October 24th. There are two other walks in our neck of the woods. So if you're not local to Delaware, or if you want to visit all three walks, knock yourself out. We're happy to welcome you to all of them. And those walks would be the first one this coming weekend in Ocean City, New Jersey. Will be on Sunday, October 10th at the Ocean City High School. The following weekend, Sunday, October 17th, that is our Greater Philadelphia and Southern New Jersey Walk. It's a mouthful. We call it GPSNJ. That'll be Sunday, October 17th over at Cooper River Park in Pensauken. And to tie up the month on Sunday, October 24th, we will be at Bellevue State Park in Delaware.
Now, do you have any pre-thingies, events, you know, scheduled to go into this?
So at this point, since we're already in October, we have kind of already set sail with our kickoff events, which normally would happen in August. So we always have a kickoff event to get everyone excited about the walks. And of course, we are very happy for 2022 next year to start doing those kickoffs in person again and really make it a party. And next year, please be on the lookout. We will be doing some type of survivor engagement activity. We're not 100% sure what that is going to be, but we're excited to just do some kind of party. We're happy to go back to celebrating a little bit more in person in 2022.
I hate to use the word pivot, but if anybody found a way to pivot, it was you guys. And I was, last year was a car parade. Wasn't that what ended up happening?
Yes, we did the car parade over at the 76ers Fieldhouse. And you know what? We had a great time. WJBR, of course, provided the music. We had all kinds of cars come through, motorcycles all decorated in pink. And, you know, as we say, there's a will, there's a way. And our participants are clearly very passionate about what they do. And, you know, the mission of the American Cancer Society. And it was awesome to see folks coming out even amidst a very crazy pandemic.
Well, it is nice, though, to be on 2 feet or however you're going to do this. And this is a family event, right? I mean, can four-leggeds come and can kids in wagons? And I mean, who can participate in this?
Sure. So typically, of course, we are welcome all humans of all ages, whether they're one or 99. Typically, we don't allow dogs at the event. So just for a couple of safety precautions, we wouldn't allow your four-legged friends to come. But if you do have four-legged friends at home, dogs, cats, or anything in between, please dress them up in pink and send them our way so we could see photos of them. Of course, you know, have your pets celebrate from home. I'm sure that my two kitty cats are going to be rocking the pink all week. And they will hate the outfits, but
there's a way for them to participate. They just don't have to be there.
of course. Yeah. Put pink tutus on the dogs. They'll love it.
that's another story altogether. So, so all of this is taking place. Now, if you don't have a pre-registration, you just don't do it. And then you realize on the morning of the 24th, I want to be there. I want to be a part of this. Can you sign up at the site?
Of course. We will have a whole crew of volunteers working the event at our check-in tent and other tents, of course, across the field. But they can definitely check in at that check-in tent, turn in donations, register for the walk. And a lot of the things we're going to now is QR codes to, once again, just lessen that interaction and lessen that touch.
Now, are you going to have information booths there? Will there be information for people who'd like to learn more about the American Cancer Society and your work against breast cancer?
Of course, yes. There will absolutely be an information area where folks can learn a little bit more about the American Cancer Society, our Making Strides events, and a whole slew of other programs we have. And we should have some representation as well from ACS-CAN, which is our American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. And they will be there to represent, everything and anything ACS CAN related. Folks can, you know, register with them to receive more information about what the American Cancer Society does and actually what we do with legislation and law regarding health and wellness for cancer patients.
So we are actually, it's not quite the 2-minute warning, but we are getting so darn close to it that I got to ask, Jason, if we want to get involved with you throughout the year, what should we do and what can we do to support the American Cancer Society?
So I would say if anyone has any interest in volunteering for the organization, an easy place to start would be cancer.org/volunteer. There is a brief fill out of some just information of what your interest might be. And then we will make sure that if a person has interest in a certain area, they would receive training in that area and then be allowed to volunteer in certain aspects of the organization. If you're very interested in participating in any event, such as Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, we encourage you to reach out to us. You know, as was mentioned earlier, we do have our 1-800 number. We do have our website. If it's Making Strides specifically, there is an easy website to go to see your most local event. That's makingstrideswalk.org. And you could put in your zip code to find a local event. And if the event happens to be in Delaware, we look forward to seeing you on those days, on that day coming up.
So now I'm going to give you that 2-minute warning. Gina, I'm giving you that 2-minute warning now.
All right. So just the last iteration, we are very excited, as Jason mentioned, to welcome all of our walkers to the Delaware event on the 24th of October at Bellevue State Park. We are so excited to welcome our survivors, caregivers, friends and family of those who have been touched by breast cancer. We are so happy and excited to see all of our walkers come out, both teams we've seen before and teams that are new to us. So come on out for a great time, some entertainment and a really awesome cause. We're excited to see y'all.
Jason?
Ditto to what Gina just mentioned. We're looking forward to the end of the month. We're looking forward to the entire month of October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we, of course, encourage folks to reach out to us with any questions that they have related to a most recent diagnosis or someone that might just need information about cancer in general. But, you know, first and foremost, we want people to understand that these events exist in order to make sure that we are providing dollars for research, dollars to get people to and from treatment, dollars for people to stay in places that are close to home, ultimately to make the life of those individuals that are diagnosed a little bit better.
Well, with wonderful programs like Hope Lodges, Road to Recovery, the research, the advocacy work that you do, plus that phone number, 1-800-227-2345. That's everything cancer there. 1-800-227-2345. You know, supporting you, real easy. And it's a real simple this month, especially today in Ocean City, New Jersey. Next Sunday, the Greater Philadelphia Walk will be in Southern New Jersey. Walk will be taking place. And of course, October 24th at Bellevue State Park, the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Delaware Walk will take place. That's October 24th. You can find out more information about a walk wherever you happen to be. If you're listening to this in Utah, you can find out information makingstrideswalk.org. But locally, makingstrideswalk.org/Delaware. And for all things cancer related, if you have any kind of question about their programming and services, go to cancer.org. My guest today, Gina McLeese, she is a senior communications manager, and Jason Playa, director of development for the American Cancer Society here for Delaware. Thank you both and good luck on the 24th.
Thank you, Laura. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you both again very soon. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.